Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. With everything that's going on around us, it just seems so chaotic. But today is your day, and we are here to focus on you, to realign ourselves, to listen to your word, to let you speak to us, renew us, fulfill us, and help us to know that you are our God. So, Lord, thank you. And please bless us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, I want to pick up on that comment that Shane made in his prayer that the Lord would realign us. And so we're going to start there. But first, this week, Assurance of Blessing. We're continuing our series on having assurance from God. And this week, Victory Over Impurity. And impurity is more than just immoral actions. I believe any thoughts contrary to God. And certainly when we live in troubled times, our thoughts tend to move away from God and we start to look for human solutions. And so in terms of Psalm 119, verse 9, let's say the memory verse before the children go out. Notice what Psalm 119 says. Read it with me if you're able to. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Good stuff. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young person, a young man, a young woman, how can an older adult, how can we keep our way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And so children, away you guys go, off to your class. With the time that we have this morning, I want to take us into the realm of impurity. And I want to do it not in terms of shock preaching. In fact, I'm not a big fan of shock preaching. Do you know what shock preaching is? Have you heard that term before? Shock preaching is when the speaker may use vocabulary that includes swear words. Or he may talk about topics in such graphic detail that you as a listener are what? Shocked. And somewhere along the line, it became acceptable to some. But I don't think so. When we deal with the topic of impurity, I think we want God to lead us and to guide us. And so what I want to say this morning is that we have a great passage before us. We have a passage that gives us the solution to overcoming one of the greatest obstacles that men face, and more women, because culture now is turning not just on men, but on women. There was a time when pornography was simply the realm of which sex was the realm of pornography usually refined to or confined to men. And yet, with books such as some of the books that have come out, there's been an increase now in pornography amongst women. And so impurity is not just a male-only struggle. Even women today. In fact, what's interesting is you read different pastoral articles. One of the big articles that comes along every once in a while is, what do I do with women who dress inappropriately when they come to church? Because young men will, you know, these are little magazine articles, or they write in and they say, Pastor, the church I go to, I'm a young Christian, and, you know, I have some struggles from my past. And when I go to church, I find I'm struggling with impure thoughts because the way some of the women dress. And so there it is. And what's always amazing is the next month, after the pastor or whoever is writing the article and answering it says, well, you know, we need to follow biblical guidelines for dressing with modesty and for understanding that men are wired visually and things like that. But what's always interesting is the next month, the number of women that write in and say, ho, 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 and we're not just talking Christmas here, the women will write in, and guess what the women say? It's not just a struggle that men have. Trust me, there are some ways that men dress and men act that cause us to struggle too. And so it's a very interesting thing. So what we have before us, Psalm 119, verse 9, is an amazing verse because it is a powerful promise from God in overcoming one of the greatest obstacles. Last night at the graduation ceremony, Don and I were blown away. In fact, Don and I were having our little fashion show. The women dressed, the West African women dressed so fantastic. The colors of the fabric and the style of the dress. And it's very interesting that, I want to say this carefully, but we miss out because these beautiful cultural dresses that were modest but just absolutely stunningly beautiful were contrasted by the non-West African high school friends of the girls that came that night. And I felt sorry for them because, as my daughters have told me, Dad, when we go to buy clothes, everything we want to buy, it's either too tight or it's too short or it's too low. It's really hard to find clothing that's appropriate. And the contrast last night was amazing because you had these beautiful, beautiful dresses, and then you had North American, American style of clothing, and it's like, if I had a choice. And so we're in a struggle because everything wants us to move down a path, and we have this promise from God. How can a young person keep their way pure? And there's the answer. But how do we incorporate that answer into our lives? That's what we want to talk about. So that's what I want to quickly get into with the time that I have. Number one, from Psalm 119, we're going, if you open your Bibles, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 6. I want to take you through what I hope will be an application-oriented reminder of how can you claim this wonderful promise of purity in your life. Number one, you need to desire to be guarding your life, your heart, your mind, your thoughts. You need to be guarding. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? What does it say? How can, if you want purity in your life, how can you be pure? What does the second line of the psalm say? By what? By guarding it. You know, there's a very similar verse, Philippians chapter 4, where it says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And the idea of guarding is the idea of a sentry. It's the idea of going up to a gate, and there's a guard there, and that guard will not let you pass. That guard will not let you in if you are not what you should be. That's not going to happen. And so here's the whole thing. The first step to purity is you have to choose to be a person who wants to guard your heart, your soul, your mind, your thoughts from impurity. And the way that you do it, by guarding it according to your word. In other words, God is giving us rules and guidelines that will keep us from impurity. Now, before we move on to number two, let me just say, here are some verses that just will help us dig deeper. The first problem we have in terms of impurity is that we have created a culture of gawkers. Have you ever heard of subliminal messaging? Subliminal messaging is when just a little flash, and it was outlawed from commercial use back in the 60s because they found that it was very effective. You just put a very fraction of a shot before a person, and it begins to prompt things. Our culture today, cartoons and everything, they're very good at giving you. Have you noticed how quickly a lot of shots and commercials go? They go from this to this to this to this, and they'll always give you something that makes you, well, what did I just see? And so understand, if we're going to guard our hearts, our souls, our minds, our thoughts, we have to understand that we are in a culture of gawking, of trying to capture you. And so the verse that we want to address is Psalm 101, verse 3. This is a verse that you need to memorize. Psalm 101, verse 3, in addition to all the other memory verses we're doing, here's another one. The King James says this, I will set before my eyes no unclean thing. The ESV says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. And so what we have to do is if you're on the road to purity, if you want to increase your desire for good things, you need to understand that there are times when the eye is the gateway to the heart, and you need to guard your eyes. If the eyes are the gateway to the heart, then you need to begin to say, I want to begin to put a guard before my eyes. There's different things we can do. I use a software called NetNanny. I like it because it's relatively inexpensive. There are other things called Covenant Eyes. There are different things, but every home should have internet filters on it. The thing I like about NetNanny is that it is a tattler. There are programs that are blockers, and so you can buy programs that are blockers, but every home should have internet filtering software on it. And the software I prefer is what I call Tattler. What you do is you set up maybe, you know, you say to your wife, do you have a problem with impurity and online things? And if your wife says no, then you say, I'd like you to be the administrator. And you set it up, and it goes, I have it on my phone, the browser on my phone, I have it on my office computer here, I have it on, Daniel's got it on his laptop, so Mac, PC, phone, whatever you want. But what happens is that Dawn has the password, and she's got the password only. And the interesting thing is if I go somewhere I shouldn't, it doesn't block me, but what it does is it tattles on me. And do I really want Dawn mad at me? Do I really want Dawn to know what I'm doing? No, I don't. Trust me. And so every person, I will set before my eyes, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Every young person, every young man needs some type of guard before his eyes. He needs the help. See, I tend to think every movie I've seen lately that has a president, the president is usually a very strong person. He's able to defend himself. He won't back down. Harrison Ford, great president. Independence Day, the president flying against the aliens, great president. But as strong as those presidents are, they still are surrounded by who? So, security. We need the same thing. So we need to guard ourselves because we live in a culture of gawkers. They want to capture us. And as men, those silly ads that just pop out of nowhere, I just want to read the news online. I don't need this. We need protection. Now, the second thing is, dabblers. We need to guard ourselves from dabbling. We need to be delicate where God is delicate. One of my frustrations as a pastor has been the topics that certain Christian books are bringing up. And my rule of thumb is this. If God's word does not specifically address a sin, I don't think we should be talking about it as Christians. And that may sound fuzzy, but I don't want to go into more detail because I don't want to dabble. Especially in the realm of father-son talking. I think as fathers, we need to be very careful when we talk to our children. When we get down to that son, I need to talk to you, and they roll their eyes. We need to be very careful that we're not introducing sinful thoughts to our children. Because Scripture doesn't. Notice what it says in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So if God doesn't talk about certain subjects, should we? No. Be imitators of God. And walk in love as Christ loved us. In other words, the greatest example you can do, if you want to help your child with purity, the greatest example that you can be is a pure person yourself. See, so therefore be imitators of God. Okay, be careful you don't do things God doesn't do. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now notice this. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. See, that's the interesting thing. If someone says to you, oh, you should read this book. Oh, no, I don't want to read that book. If someone says, oh, you know, I've come back to Christ, I lived a life of rampant immorality, can I share with you my story? Well, yeah, you can share the part where you broke down and came back to Christ, but everything else I don't want to hear. Yeah, but unless I tell you about what a wicked sinner I was, you won't think I'm wonderful. And it's like, well, I don't think you're wonderful anyway. I just don't want to hear it. You don't need to hear it. There is a fine line between a testimony and a bragamony. And Scripture, how clear can it be? Be imitators of God. If God doesn't talk about it specifically, we shouldn't. Number two, be an example. Number three, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness must not be even named among you. Don't even talk about it. There are certain subjects. Don't go there. Be delicate where God is delicate. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. You know, that's a real struggle for me, because I was a person at one time in my life where I just rude, crude, and lewd. That was the motto I lived by. I hung around with guys that the ruder you were, the cruder you were, the more laughs you got. And I have to be very careful, because the words here, foolish talk, it literally means double entendre. It's this idea of whatever you say, I can come up with something rude. And so that's what Scripture says. We need to be careful of gawking, so we need to put filters or guards in our lives. We need to be careful of dabbling, that as Christians, you know, I'm struggling. What are you struggling with? I'm struggling with impure thoughts. Okay. I can pray for that. But not, Mike, I'm struggling with, you know, specifics. Well, no, we don't need to talk about that. Because now you're making your struggle my struggle. Because my heart is prone to wander too. What we need to be shiners. And whenever I see shiner, I always think of black eye. But Philippians has a different thing. Did you think black eye too? No. We need to be shiners from Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God. See, notice what he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. There is a certain realm where Christianity extols innocence, naivety. Children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted... We live in a crooked and twisted world, and if we're going to be pure, we need to seek to guard ourselves from the impure tactics of the world. Notice what it says here. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And so if we're going to guard, if we're going to set a guard before us, if we're going to guard our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, we need to be careful. The world wants us to become gawkers. It wants to use our eyes as the gateway to the heart. We have to be careful that as a Christian community, we're not dabblers where we're talking about things that maybe God doesn't want us to talk about. But we also need to be shiners. We need to just seek to really allow our purity to shine in this world. But there's more. There's more here. Let's keep going. If that's Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Notice number two. Wholehearted surrender. Wholehearted surrender. With my whole heart. Do you have verse 10, Psalm 119, verse 10 in front of you? What does it say? With my whole what? With my whole heart I seek you. There, if you want to overcome impurity, there is no room in the Christian life for a half-hearted commitment. You've got to slay that sucker. There's nothing worse than seeing an athlete who has an opponent right where they want them, and then they let up a little bit. They ease up mentally. Maybe they slow down thinking, hey, you know, I got this. And they lose the edge. There is no room for half-hearted effort in the Christian life in the realm of impurity. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. This is the whole thing. When he says wholehearted surrender, how do you know that you're not surrendered completely? Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me ask you, what's he saying here? I know I am not wholeheartedly surrendered or committed to God when I begin to what? What's the word the second part of that verse uses? Wander. Let me not wander from your commandments. When we begin, it's like, okay, I'm seeking to change over in this area of my life. I've got this area pretty much under control. The best illustration I could think of was just this idea of, okay, I want to struggle with sexual purity over here. Now, financial integrity over here. So, sexually pure, but good in my business dealings, how I treat people. Doing my income taxes legally. What does income tax have to do with sexual purity? Most people would say what? Nothing. But what this verse seems to say, though, is that if you begin to wander over in this area, you see where I'm going? If you begin to wander in whatever area of life you put over here, what will it begin to do over here? It will begin to erode. And just like those people along the coast, when they bought their homes, they thought that they would never fall into the sea. Guess what? Erosion spiritually happens when we wander from God's word. Number three, filling. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We've looked at this verse already. We spent a lot of time on this verse. Sorry about that. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have spent a lot of time, but let's look at it from a slightly different perspective right now. If you have stored up God's word in your heart, what's the word I used? What's the word up on the screen? If you have stored up God's word in your heart, you don't have room for other things. And we need to seek to be filled with God's word. We need to seek to be filled with God's spirit. We need to allow God to totally control us, to overcome. And so we need to be guarding. We need to be surrendered wholeheartedly. We need to seek God's filling, not just of his spirit, but also of his word. Now notice this, number four, we need to be law-abiding. What in the world are you saying, Mike? Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. What I'm saying is the word statute, it means written laws. Does anyone not believe in the law of gravity? What is the law of gravity? Basically, if I drop this, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. We need to view God's word as statutes, the psalmist says, because they are God's written laws. And to be law-abiding does not mean you're saved by faith. It is by grace you have been saved. We live by grace. We are empowered by grace. Everything is grace. But there comes a point where we need to follow God's laws and say, this is what God says to do. Don't do it. And so we need to be law-abiding. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. We need to soak up God's word, and we need to pay special attention, not just to the promises, but also to the commands he gives that when he says, Mike, don't do certain things. Parents, someday your children will be dating. And here's a verse. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If you want incredible parental grief, don't follow that law and allow your child to date whoever they want. It will break your heart. Yeah, but we're just friends. Yeah, well, guess what? You know, there's a difference between hanging out in a group and private dating. The other area is bad company corrupts good character. Be careful who your children make friends with. God's law says, you know, just follow me. Let's keep going. Number five, verbalizing. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. That's what he says. If you want to overcome impurity, when's the last time you verbally spoke out loud certain commandments? There are certain verses I use that are reminders to me of purity. My favorite is from Proverbs chapter 5, where it simply says that the eyes of the Lord are watching everything I do. And quite often, I will verbally say to myself, Mike, no one is around except the Lord. And he's watching what you're doing right now. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. That when, for some reason, when you verbalize what God wants you to do, there is power in that. In fact, there's also power in, number six, appreciation. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all your riches. It's funny, the world resents the Word of God. We are told to delight in the Word of God. The world thinks that to be a Christian is to be a party pooper. To be a believer is like, oh man, there's no fun being a Christian. And yet, notice what he says here. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. If only our entire world would delight in the Word of God more than money. Think of all the worlds, all the wars that would be spared. Think of all the heartache. Think of all the gamblers. Think of everyone. Number seven, meditate. Meditation is not the emptying of the mind. It is the intentional focusing of the mind on God's Word. I will meditate on your precepts. And Shane, did you read the verses I was going to do before you spoke this morning? What does Psalm 119, verse 15 say? Okay. I will meditate on your precepts and what? Fix my eyes on your ways. It's exactly what Shane said. See, this is the whole thing. When Shane prayed that God would refocus us and realign us, this is what we do. We meditate. We just spend time just thinking about God's Word. How does this apply to my life? See, to be filled with God's Word, to memorize God's Word, and then to meditate on God's Word. If you've never gotten into the habit of daily Bible reading, the greatest way to begin, it's a book called 15 Minutes with God. And basically the idea is 5 minutes reading. If you don't read the Bible at all, you have to start somewhere. Okay, my quiet time takes much more than 5 minutes each morning. But if you want to begin, you've got to begin somewhere. And you need all three in your life. So don't just read the Bible for an hour and then get up and say, well, that's done. But the 15-minute time with God, spend 5 minutes reading Scripture, spend 5 minutes praying to God, and then spend 5 minutes meditating, just stop and just say, okay, I just read and I just prayed. Now, how does this work? Because you've got to start somewhere. And the amazing thing is after a while, it's like, well, Mike, you told me to do 5, 5, and 5, and it's a big failure. Well, why is that a big failure? Well, because I spent 15 minutes reading the Bible this morning, and I prayed for 20 minutes. Am I doing it wrong? No, but start somewhere. Because I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Let's finish off. Reinforcement. Nothing will ever be accomplished in your life without reinforcement. The 10,000-hour rule is this. If you want to be good at something, 10,000 hours. Do it. I remember our high school dropped football when I was a junior. And they decided they went with soccer and with volleyball. And so my junior and senior year, even though I was a soccer player, I played volleyball. And we happened that year to get a teacher who was he was going to graduate from teacher's college, but he happened to be a varsity volleyball player. And so he was like a student teacher. He was doing like his time for a year before he graduated at our high school. And this guy was a volleyball nut. And we were very fortunate. I wasn't a believer then, but I'll say now, we were very blessed to have him. But his one thing is this. He said, Mike, you need to understand, the setter for the Cuban national team sets 1,000 balls every day. That's just, okay? Now, you guys know volleyball. What's the key to good practice, practice, practice? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And that just, you know, what he was reinforcing was, if you want to do it, you've got to do it. Notice what he says. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The way that we do not forget, what verse 16 is saying here, is if you want to delight in God's word, you need to reinforce, do not forget. So how do we finish off? Again, our verses. Let me just say this. Through Jesus, 1 John 5:11 and 12 was our first memory verse, assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:11 and 12, through Jesus we have salvation and purity. He who has the Son has life. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have Jesus who wants to give you salvation and purity. Number two, John 16:24, assurance of answered prayer. If you ask God for purity, what does God say? Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Nothing sucks the joy out of a man's Christian life than impurity. Ask God to give you a desire for purity. John 16:24. Allow God, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, allow God to let you overcome temptation. God is in the business of rescuing us from impurity. And then 1 John 1:9, when we do fail, let God cleanse you. Don't live under the weight of guilt. Let God cleanse you from impurity. And then trust God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust God to keep you pure. As you lean not on your own understanding, He will show you the way to purity. Well, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone here. And right now, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if we can right now, if you are in need of prayer this morning, could you just raise your hand up? We need, and Father, we need your touch this morning. We need for you to show us how to guard our lives. We need to understand that through Jesus we have salvation, but we also have a Savior who is pure, and if His Spirit lives within us, then He is able to give us purity. We also, Lord, we need to ask. We need to pray to you right now. Until now, we've asked nothing in your name. If we ask, we will receive that our joy may be full. We need to ask for purity to come into our lives. We need to allow you to help us overcome our temptation, that you will not let us struggle beyond what we can bear, but when we are tempted, you'll provide a way out. And we need to claim that promise. And we need to, when we fall, we need to just cleanse ourselves from the guilt and the shame, and we need to repent, but we need to then seek to once again move on. And we need to trust you. You will not lead us into impure ways. And so I don't care who it is. If someone says this is what God wants, but it's not pure. No, it's not right. So, Lord, help us. Lord, as we now present to you our tithes and our offerings, as we give you our gifts, thank you, Lord, for sustaining us and watching over us. Lord, help us to live for you completely. Thank you that you love us. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. May your grace go with us. May your peace be upon us. In your Son's name we ask. Amen.